When's your birthday, Craig?
Oh. It's a video.
What?
I can see you. No. Hi, Mike.
I didn't ask to do this.
Uh-huh. So, should I turn it off and turn it on again?
Well, you're not going to upload this as a video, are you?
No. I'm just recording the audio. Alright, I'll turn it off and turn it on again.
I don't care then.
There. That's better.
When's your birthday, Craig?
November. Why?
It's November 4th, right?
Yeah.
Wrong.
It's November 14th.
No, there's no 4 involved.
It's November 12th.
No, it's November 5th.
Yeah. I was close, November 4th. Look, is the air conditioner being a problem?
It's a little hissy, but it's not terrible.
Okay, I don't care what your day is. Yes. Back to your birthday.
Why are we back to my birthday?
There you go, Josh, take it away.
I don't want to talk about this.
That's all you've been doing.
You know,
this was you that brought this up.
Here's mainly my thing. I really don't want to give this guy advertising.
Oh, good point.
I don't want to send people to this guy's website.
But I've advertised so much for that comic book guy that makes hot sauces.
Yeah, but those might be delicious.
Mm.
Okay. So is this something you just need to tell me later?
I guess so.
Yes.
And
here's the deal, Craig.
Okay.
I'm going to say something. You might need to bleep it all out. But have you ever been masturbating? Is the beginning of the sentence. And that's. I'll just leave it at that.
Wait a minute.
No, you can't leave,
it at that.
So how many, we should do like an infomercial. How many times has this happened to you?
Oh,
you're masturbating, minding your own business.
Is it like one of those funny commercials where they can't do it?
All over the place. Okay. On the ceiling, on the chairs, all over your
this
pants.
This is the grossest.
Which you're still wearing for some reason.
Is this a trauma movie?
This episode is the grossest thing I've ever been part of.
Have I got a solution for you? You may be thinking, I could just use a Kleenex to wipe everything up, or maybe a hardy paper towel. But have you thought about the environmental impact of that? I mean, I know how often you masturbate, but it could be quite a lot. It could be equaling thousands of trees.
This could be an insult, or it could not be.
Yeah, I don't know. So what if you had a handkerchief, right? Reusable, washable.
No, it's
washable.
A towel.
What's that?
It's a towel.
No, but let's say it were a handkerchief. That wouldn't work at all.
Oh.
Handkerchief would be a portable version.
Oh, no. Don't give this guy ideas. Oh, all right.
But what if you had a towel, a beach towel, right? Think of a tarp that you can lay down first. But that won't work. It's far too big. You can't get around it. There are logistical problems. But what if you put a hole in the center of it? Now that sounds like something that's probably patentable.
Dead
silence.
I know how this pitch meeting is going to go.
I think he hung up.
Couldn't you just wrap the towel around it?
No! Like an animal? What is wrong with you?
So, it's like a... What do they call those? It's like a slanket, but you'd call it a spanket?
Yeah!
Craig's already better than this other guy!
Craig has cracked this wide open.
Oh, no, this is going to be like when
Sam stole your six-pack?
Sam stole my soda sling! And he made the... he made soda sling.
Sling was better.
I had the soda tote.
Yeah.
Soda Tote's a better name.
Soda Tote's not a bad name. Soda Sling's better.
But yeah, but he never made it. And then I
Soda Tota would be.
No!
That's kind of.
This is our Soda Sling for masturbation.
Right. So crank it with the spank it.
He's a perfect spokesman! You're a celebrity spokesman for this! We didn't make this up, by the way. This is not our invention.
How did you come up? Never mind. I don't really want to know.
He's a Lyft driver, and a friend got a Lyft from him.
Oh.
this inventor.
He said he was an inventor. So we went to his website, and this is his invention. The jack-off towel.
Is that what it's called?
See, when he
said it
like that.
Oh. It's not called that at all. It has some crazy-ass...
Well, don't tell me, because let's not... Yeah.
Yeah, your names are better.
Anyway, well, that's a thing.
It is a thing. Welcome to the show, everybody.
That reminds me of an article I read once. it was about, what was it, the maintenance staff of the male dormitory of a college.
Oh.
Was requesting that the men didn't, what was it, that they didn't jack off in the bathtub or in the shower because it was clogging the drains.
Jesus.
Apparently the sheer volume of all these people in this building doing it.
Oh, God.
What?
No.
Yeah. I can't remember. It was some article I read like last year.
That can't be true.
And I don't remember where it was or anything. Or maybe I read it longer ago than that, but I would have never thought about it again. Until you guys brought this up. Because, you know, this towel would have been the perfect solution for them.
It really would. It would have saved lives.
Yeah. So.
Anyway, welcome to week...
Week 716 of the Crankcast. Where we've made all your dreams come true.
Mm-hmm.
So, what else is new?
All your entrepreneurial dreams come true. Shark Tank!
We're inventors.
Please put this guy on Shark Tank.
Oh, God, yes.
Just so you can hear the pitch.
Hey, Mark Cuban.
How many trees are you killing on a daily basis, would you say?
Mark Cuban would definitely say he only has sex with women.
Yeah.
He's never masturbated.
It seems to me that if you were... ejaculating that much for it to be an issue, you would probably be at risk of losing like so much fluid in your body you wouldn't be healthy.
You were just talking about clogging up a shower drain. That seems excessive.
Well, it wasn't one person. We're talking about a building full of dudes. You know,
okay.
It was a dorm. Like,
yeah, this wasn't Crank he was talking.
Yes, me by myself.
This is a discussion I had with my plumber.
They have this picture like sitting up next to public restrooms. Do not let this man in.
Yes. Exactly. I'm a menace to plumbers everywhere. Wow. Anyway. Still recovering from that. Hold on. All right. Yeah. Moving on. So I saw you watched Vicious Lips.
I did.
What did you think of it?
I hated it.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
It's a terrible movie. It's not even a movie. It's a music video for a band that doesn't exist. It makes no sense. I was saying to everybody here, it's like it was filmed Marvel method, like... They just said, hey, this is the idea for it. They filmed a bunch of scenes, and then they came up with a story afterwards.
Huh. Now, maybe I'm misremembering. I know I talked about it after I watched it. This had to be, like, I think it was when I was, before I moved in here, so it was, like, 3-4 years ago. I think. But I seem to remember liking it. But maybe I'm misremembering.
It looks neat. I like the idea, but it's clearly because the guy saw Streets of Fire and was trying to replicate that.
That's that one where towards the end, the story just takes a weird twist and makes absolutely no sense, right?
Yes, because he didn't know what the story was. So he said, oh, it's all a dream. That's why none of the continuity makes sense in this.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
People have different outfits from scene to scene.
Yeah.
And they're in one ship. They don't have a wardrobe with them.
I remember thinking it was still fun, though.
It's not a fun movie, either.
Huh. Okay. Well, that's a shame.
terrible.
Well,
and the thing is, I've seen lots of terrible Albert Pune movies that have made me really annoyed, but this one bothered me more. I don't know why. Maybe because I expected more from it. When I saw it, I was like, this is going to be awesome. And then it wasn't.
Like, yeah, I don't know. I think I like more of his movies than I dislike, even when they're bad. I mean, that whole, what was that one that was supposed to be a part one of a trilogy or whatever, and the rest of it never got made? I think it was his most recent thing that had Kevin Sorbo in it.
Yeah, it was part two of a trilogy.
Was that what it was?
Yes, it was the sequel to The Sword and the Sorcerer.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, okay, yeah. I mean, that was terrible, but it still...
It was awful.
No, yeah, I was going to say it was, but it still had something. It didn't have anything. That was terrible. That one was terrible.
It was a sequel to The Sword and the Sorcerer, and at the end, it was a completely different movie. It was like a vampire movie at the end of it.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck?
That's the one I'm still not sure if we both watched the same movie, because there were cuts of it that were released, different cuts of it.
I think he films his movies like stream of consciousness and then says, I'll figure out a story afterwards.
I guess that keeps things lively. I watched this movie that had, I'm trying to think of how to pitch this. Like, okay, so do you want to see an 80s movie with girls in workout gear, like working out a bunch?
Go on.
And then getting killed?
I've probably seen this movie, Frank.
Well, I've got the movie for you. It's called Killer Workout.
Yeah, Killer Workout. That's a classic.
Yeah. Which is a predictable movie, but still was kind of fun to watch.
That's a David Pryor movie, so
was it?
He's better than Albert Pune.
David Pryor? Because...
Oh, his Ted brother. Pryor. Ted Pryor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, David Pryor was the director. Ted Pryor was in it. That's what it was.
I love how much says these people like they're people we should all know.
Yeah, I know. I've gone too far into the jungle. I'm sorry.
Well, come on. You don't know Ted Pryor from such classics as Deadly Prey?
Deadly Prey, yeah, of course. Yeah. He's made many movies, like Night Games and... other movies. Sledgehammer.
Other movies.
Sledgehammer, which is awful.
Born Killer.
Yeah. A lot of them are based on... A lot of... He's really obsessed with army stuff. Like war stuff.
Yeah. Seems like it. Wait, are we talking about Ted or David?
David, the one that makes the movie.
Oh, okay. Because, yeah, Ted was too. Of course, Ted seems to be in a lot of David Pryor movies.
Well, yeah. He's the main star of Ted's stuff. He made Future Force and Future
Oh, the ones yeah with the glove.
Yeah, he's made those because Ted's in the second one, the sequel, where he's basically the Terminator.
Well, yeah, he's Carradine's son or whatever in it, right?
Yeah, he comes back from the future to make sure that David Carradine lives to have him.
Oh, sorry, that might have been a spoiler. Yeah.
Oh, I don't fucking care if people watch Future Force.
Or Future Zone?
Future Zone is the first one. Future Force is the second. Or I get them mixed up.
Yeah, Future Force was the first one. Yeah. It's with a very drunk David Carradine.
Yeah, you can smell the alcohol through the TV.
He's just like... slurred his way through half the movie.
Not care what's going on.
And he's just looking around like, what?
What is that? I'm so tired.
Yeah, those are definitely they have a certain charm.
Yeah.
Were both of them? I think
Riff Trax has done both of them.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think that's how I watched them, was Riff Trax versions of them. And they definitely benefited from that.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, I think I saw this one, too. It's a David Pryor movie called Man Killers.
Man Killers is great!
Yeah, I did see this one.
Man Killers is awesome.
That's one of those just weird, how did this get made movies? Like.
Yeah.
And glad you can search by director on... well, not
the bad
director,
guy, search by the bad guy in Mankillers is also a staple of David Pryor movies. And I love that guy.
Which one? Who?
I don't know. He has a weird name, but...
Oh, here's one I've never seen before, and it's got Dan Haggerty in it.
I've probably seen it. Which one is it?
Night Wars?
Yeah, Night Wars. That's the one I was talking about.
Oh, okay.
No, Night Wars. What else did I say? Night Games? Night Wars is what I meant.
Oh, okay.
That's the one where his old army buddy is trying to kill him in his dreams. And Dan Haggerty is a psychologist who doesn't believe him.
Yeah, I remember you talking about it now.
And then he and his friend go into the dream all geared up, like Rambo, to fight their old enemy.
That's just weird.
It's real weird.
Yeah. So, what else have you watched recently? Anything super memorable?
Nothing really good.
I mean, it's usually not really good, right?
I put them all on Instagram.
I know. I'm just trying to bring up something to talk about.
Well, I mean, I put them all on Instagram, so I won't have to keep them in my head anymore.
All right.
I mean, I can go look. What did I watch recently? Vicious Lips, Demonoid, that was real boring. Strip to Kill was real boring.
Oh, I was going to watch it. Is that not good?
It's real boring.
Okay.
Survival Earth was real dumb.
Is that the one with Adrian Paul?
No, it has nobody you've ever heard of.
Oh, okay.
It was made in 1985 in Canada with a video camera.
Oh, I've got one. It's a recent movie for you. Although I don't know if I can actually recommend anybody watching it because it's just not that great. But it's another deathbed movie.
It's called Deathbed?
No, it's called Bed of Death.
Bed of Death?
Yeah. It's from 2016, I think.
What?
And I just stumbled on it because it had an actress in it that I had seen in another movie, and I was looking her up, and I was like, oh, here's another deathbed movie. Weird. And it's essentially not quite the same concept because the bed doesn't eat the people, but there is a demon associated with the bed.
That's the Charles Band version.
What?
Of Deathbed, where the bed is possessed by some crazy... evil couple, and it makes whoever's near it want to like go crazy and.
So there's another deathbed movie.
Yeah, there's a movie called Deathbed.
Oh, weird.
There's a couple of movies called Deathbed.
I didn't realize you could get this much like, you know, this much out of just that concept of an evil bed. Like.
Yeah, in the other deathbed, like the Charles Band one, it doesn't eat anybody, it doesn't kill anybody, it possesses you.
Oh. Yeah,
it's like a psychosexual thriller.
This one, I wasn't super clear. Like, in the beginning of the movie, you see some guy back in, this is where it gets confusing, because it looks like it's something like back in the medieval times, Middle Ages somewhere, you know? And these people drag this guy up to a hanging tree and cut down a rotten corpse and then hang him up. And then some guy in chainmail comes along and cuts the tree down, and I assume that's what makes the bed. I think that's what they're trying to tell you in it. And so I guess that's how the bed gets possessed by a demon, but it's supposed to be a demon. I don't know. But then at the end, they said the bed was from, like, 1921 or something like that. So I'm like, well, that didn't make any sense at the beginning of the movie. But in this one, it's instead of the bed eating you, once you touch the bed, or get on the bed or whatever, you can't leave it or you die.
That's funny.
Right. And,
It's like one of those contests at the mall where you got
to touch the car. Yeah, yeah. So in this movie, the bed is set, and this doesn't make a lot of sense either. And apparently, one of the one of the rules to the bed killing you is that it has to kill you with something that you did wrong in the past.
Kill you with something you did wrong.
Well, as a for instance, one person gets killed because he hit a kid, so the kid comes back and kills him. What was it? I don't remember how it kills him, but I guess it hits him with a spectral car and it breaks his bones or whatever. I don't know.
The bed is the crow.
Yeah, kind of.
Crow bed.
So, like, I don't, like, anyway, it uses, like, your guilt, I guess, to kill you. So if you haven't done anything majorly wrong, like, it can trick you into letting it kill you, but you can just get up and walk away. Is apparently the rule. Like, so.
Let me kill you!
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of, it's.
Wait a minute, where are you going?
It's Canadian. I don't know if that explains anything.
Why do they keep making movies?
Dude, they were making some excellent television for a while.
Well, they still make television.
Oh, wait, Pontypool was Canadian. That was a good movie.
How dare you?
You didn't like Pontypool?
I don't think I've actually seen it.
Oh. And I'm sure I've seen other Canadian stuff that's alright.
I'm kidding.
But they, yeah, so it's Canadian and it's weird. I think it's a little too long because, I mean, realistically, I think only, like, 5 people get killed. No, 4 people, I think, get killed. And it, and which, I mean, you know, it makes sense because you got 4 people stuck on a bed because the bed's in a sex shop or, like, a sex hotel. And so these 2 couples, it's, like, one of the guy's birthday or something, and they decide they're going to spend the night together in a sex motel or whatever.
I got a product for them.
I got a product for them.
Is there a lady version of that towel?
Yes.
Oh, as it turns out, yes.
Yes.
Wouldn't that just be a towel? Why would you need a hole?
That's what I was wondering also.
I mean, that would just be a towel. Yeah.
Be the towel.
Unless you wanted to... Yeah, I don't know.
Be the towel.
You'd have to be pretty adventurous for a towel not to work for that.
I guess it could come in handy if it was, like, wide enough and long enough, like beach towel size, super beach towel size, that, you know, it could be handy if you wanted to have sex with somebody but not actually have any body contact with them.
Body contact.
Is that Mormons? Which ones? Who uses the magic underwear?
What?
The Mormons use magic underwear. I don't think that's why they use it, right?
No.
Garments have nothing to do with...
What is magic underwear?
It's garments. It's a ritualistic thing that devout practitioners of Mormonism wear under their clothes.
Is it like made out of horsehair or something?
No. I don't know. It looks like medieval underwear.
It does look like medieval underwear. Huh. It looks like the underwear they would wear on Deadwood.
Okay. Well, huh. Magic underwear. Do they sell it?
Yes. Where do you think people get it?
I don't know. Don't Mormons, yeah, make their own stuff?
You have to make it out of a tree that you grew.
That you've beaten in combat.
your parents grow you a tree, and
then you have to beat that tree in combat.
You have to punch down the tree.
You have to punch the tree.
It was actually served as the inspiration for Minecraft. Not a lot of people know.
Yep.
More Minecraft.
Made by Mormons.
That was a total LDSer.
LDSer. You done got LDS.
Huh. Well, that's an interesting history of magic underwear.
Don't you think you learn a lot on this show?
Oh, every week, yeah. Oh, I learned something I never knew about shakers.
They shake?
Well, no, that's kind of sort of in the name, right, that they shake. But the only way you could become a shaker, like, they couldn't have sex or kids. So, what? Like, the only way a new Shaker could come into being is to either be adopted as a child or to join the order.
What?
Yeah, they couldn't have sex or kids.
Wow, that's not true.
What?
Is that true?
What I said?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I mean, that's probably why they're not around anymore. Like, I would imagine.
Shake.
But that was just something I read the other day.
What?
That's something I read the other day that I thought was interesting, and I never knew that before.
Wait, they've switched their religion to owning Shake Shack.
Yep. Shake Shack's made by Shakers.
Shake Shack. Wait, what's Shake Shack?
Oh, what? It's a delicious restaurant.
Is it like Rally's?
No.
Oh. Checkers?
Oh, Checkers is like Rally's. So it wouldn't make sense if it was like Checkers.
I never understood that. Are Checkers and Rally's, they're the same restaurant, right?
I don't think they're owned by the same people.
Really?
I don't think Crystal and White Castle are owned by the same people.
I don't know. Are they? I don't know what Crystal is.
Crystal is just like White Castle.
Is it like, does it look like it? Like with the castle parapet stuff?
No. No.
Or like...
No, don't be silly.
Oh, sorry.
God.
Jeez, dude. Back off, okay?
You back off. I'm afraid.
Just like you are. Just like Mark.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not scared of you.
Back up, man. Step off.
Welcome to week 700 and something.
Of the Shake Shack podcast.
Shake Shack.
Shake Shack. Brought to you by Cranky and Spank It.
Spank It.
Crank Spank It.
Yeah. Okay, one last movie. It's also a recent movie. It was called Boarding School, and it's pretty disturbing.
Well, I don't want to watch a disturbing movie.
I mean, it just starts out being a little, like, weird. Like, you're trying to go figure out what's going on. But by the end of it, it gets, like, pretty fucked up.
I don't want fucked up.
This sounds like your friend in high school describing a movie. He's like, by the end of it, pretty fucked up.
Dude. Gotta have a dude in there.
Dude.
Yeah, so. Movie stuff. Yay.
Sometimes you need ninjas, so you just trace the ninjas from Electrolytics.
Trace them from what?
Because he just traced them from a Battle Angel Alita.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that whole fight scene from Electrolytics in the graveyard?
Mm-hmm.
Just exact panels from Battle Angel Alita.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Huh.
So fuck it. I'm taking those ninjas.
I'm taking them ninjas!
So Miller was a plagiarist?
It's a homage.
Where is that line between homage and just straight ripping something off?
It's where I say it is.
Your face is where you say it is.
He's remixing.
Oh yeah, he was a early adopter of remix culture. Back when they called it plagiarism. You can't invent anything new. I mean, come on, all the great artists steal.
I beg to differ. We had an example just today of an amazing new invention.
That's true.
It had never been thought of before.
Well, he did say he was an inventor.
Are you gonna say the Spank It is plagiarism?
See, I think the problem, Crank, is that you think of invention as this additive thing. You have to create a new thing. The genius of the Spank It is he removed a thing.
Hey, Mike.
It was a towel, but they just took a circle out of the middle.
Huh.
I wonder what, like...
Huh.
what special features does it have that would be any better than you just cutting a hole in a towel yourself?
Dude, I don't know.
Is it, like, made out of some special material? Or, like...
Oh, no, there's a lot of details about the material.
Has it got, like, nice stitch edging, like, you know, or...
What kind of stitch edging?
You do kind of want to know how the, like, the embroidery around the hole is,
Yeah, is it, like, super soft? You know?
If you're, like, using tweed or something for that, that's not going to fly.
Right, or you don't want, like...
How did they describe it? They said it was,
rough and rugged, right?
No, it's ready for any rough and rugged terrain.
Oh!
A terrain is...
For horseback riding?
So are you supposed to be, like...
My thighs are often described as rough.
Right? I'm almost made out of that really rough wool.
It's mohair.
Mohair.
No, not mo. Mo out of there.
Yeah, that's just kind of... I don't... Hey, good luck, I guess, right?
You know. Hey, good luck, man.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Good luck.
Hey, man.
I mean, that's the only thing I can think of, really, because...
Hey, man, nice try. Man, nice shot.
Yeah. Huh. Oh, hey, Sean, I read that Ballad of Black Tom book you told me about.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Nice.
I liked it.
Yeah, it's good.
I am now reading an anthology that he edited.
Oh, really?
It's called a People's Future of America or something like that. It's basically like, it's like real recent. It came out late last year, early this year, I think.
And it's, I really like, he did a book a couple of years ago called The Changeling.
Was that, like, in the same kind of vein as Ballad of Black Tom, or?
It's a horror novel. It's modern, but, husband and wife have a kid, and something is definitely weird.
There was an 80s movie like that, wasn't there?
Probably.
Oh, wait.
There's a movie called The Changeling, but it's not about that.
There's a 2000s movie called The Changeling also.
Yeah, but it is more about that.
But it's not weird.
So many changelings.
So many damn changelings.
Damn changelings.
I'm sick of all these damn changelings.
People, please, think of the changelings.
That's all I do.
I mean, we've got to protect them. But, yeah, that anthology is...
Think of the changelings!
Yeah. Anyway, concept, anthology. It's about the future of America extrapolating from, you know, the past couple of years, essentially. So it's kind of grim, essentially. At least the first couple of stories I've read so far. There might be some hopeful ones, I guess.
That's grim.
That's grim. It is grim. That is grim. Yes, grim.
Grim with the rich taste of grim.
So, hey, I think, isn't today Ryan Brown's birthday?
It is.
Yeah.
He's not here.
Maybe you should get him a spanket.
Hmm.
Or you could just make one for him.
They won't want to do that?
We'll have the same stitching, though.
Yeah, I'm not
real particular about stitching.
I'm not an artisan when it comes to that.
Hmm. Gosh.
It's a real conversation killer, this thing.
Well, I think part of it is just I once I start thinking about it, it takes me a minute to stop thinking about it.
Yeah.
So that sort of crowds out anything else that I might be wanting to talk about, because I'm just thinking about this towel with a hole in it, you know? Like, could it be multi-purpose? Can you use it for other stuff? Drape it over your head and be a one-eyed ghost, maybe?
Boom!
Oh, we forgot the most important part. The hole is dead center.
Well, wouldn't it? Okay.
The guy was very specific.
He's very adamant about this hole.
And its centrality.
So are they, like, custom crafted, like, or artisanal or something? Like,
it's a bespoke comrade.
Yeah, bespoke. I mean, does it come in a variety of colors? I assume it's machine washable.
Oh, God, you would have to think, right?
I mean, you don't want to do that by hand, right?
Yeah.
Do that by hand.
I hate this.
It's, oh, what a concept.
What a concept.
It's blowing my mind, man. No, not really. Okay. Have you ever played a six-string bass?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay.
Have you?
No. It seems weird, doesn't it?
I don't know.
I mean, I've been playing bass for a long time. Why have I never played a six-string bass?
Well, because you're not in Korn?
Jazzy people like John Patitucci play them.
You ain't got to play that many notes. You ain't got to do that much shit. Why you think you got to do all that?
Four strings is good enough for Geddy Lee and Cliff Burton.
That's right. You just shut up and do your shit.
I'm more of a 24-string bass guy. So.
Oh, like a Chapman stick?
Yeah.
Shut up.
My bass looks like a harp.
I think that would be a harp, wouldn't it?
Mm.
No, it's a spark. Sparp? A barp? It's a barp. Anyway, I was looking at six-string basses, and I was...
Oh, fuck what you were doing.
Trying to figure it out, because, you know, I mean, there's six strings on a guitar, right?
Just ignores it now. There's no point in it. What's happening?
I want to hear the 24-string bass.
Wait.
Why would he be playing Sanford's song?
I got the songs mixed up. I was trying to remember the What's Happening theme.
God, I hope that he... I would love to see somebody play the Sanford and Son theme on a 24-string bass.
I'm sure it's probably pretty impressive.
Like me, I'm pretty impressive.
I'll be back.
Why don't you take the bag, then?
A good third of these strings I do not think qualify as...
Yeah, I'm not sure. Is the thing you're watching somebody playing a stick?
It looks like it. It's just a big flat board.
Yeah.
Essentially, yeah, like with some pickups down on the bottom of it or whatever. I think that's why they call them something else instead of continuing to call them basses. Because they're more like pianos. I mean, they're like a full range instrument, you know?
Like, screw it. I'm tired of these people lying to us.
I did play an 8-string bass once, which was kind of cool.
You stop bragging.
Those are kind of cool because they're done in octaves, like a 12-string guitar.
You don't know.
So you get this weird sort of sound out of them. But it was kind of hard for me to play. The tension on the strings, doubling them up like that, you know, it's kind of crazy. Bass player from King's X played an 8-string, I think.
Bass player from King's X is really good.
Yeah, a lot of people seem to like
him. Just in general, I like his voice, too.
He does have a real smooth voice. And as I recall, I had to learn a King's X song because I was in a band where everybody got to pick a cover kind of thing, and one of the other guys picked a King's X song.
Is it Over My Head?
No, it was...
Summerland?
No, I can't remember what it was now.
Was it It's Love?
No.
Was there only three hits?
This was something that was... like, because the person that picked it, like, listened to them beyond, like, the radio. You know, like, listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember what the heck it was.
Summerland?
It had something where, like... I think I had to, like, detune or something, because, like, the note it was hitting was
really
low.
Yeah, that's their later albums when they started doing it. So.
And it was doing, like, just sort of...
Actually, I don't know. Because he had that extra strings. He was probably down below range anyway.
I can't remember what it was. There was a bit with a... Yeah, I'm trying to remember what the chorus was. Like, I got a bit of the melody running through my head. But anyway... They had a weird sound.
I love them.
It was that thing where it was like... I mean,
it was heavy proggy, but they had a lot of harmonies in it, like the Beatles.
Right, it was like pop prog metal, kind of.
I loved it. I loved it when I was in high school, man.
Hard rock.
I loved that. What was the name of that album? Was it Summerland, or what was it called? It was the album that broke them. Head Over My Head, which is a fucking awesome song.
What year was it?
It's probably like 89.
89 would have been in Gretchen Goes to Nebraska.
That's it.
Yeah. And then, Faith, Hope, Love was 90. I remember hearing that.
Faith, Hope, and Love was I think that had,
We Are Finding Who We Are. That was the one. I was looking at the Faith Hope.
They got real Beatles-y on Faith Hope and Love.
I remember hearing that on a bus on the way to school. Somebody had it, and that I was sitting next to him, and he was like, "Oh, check this out," and like handed me his Walkman. You know, and I was like, oh.
They would get lumped into like the Christian bands too sometimes because I guess they had like positive songs. I guess they never really sang about God though.
Maybe it was just, because, you know, a lot of their stuff had sort of a spiritual bent to it. Like,
yes. It seemed more New Agey than it did Christian.
Yeah, definitely did seem kind of New Agey. What was the, I think it was the video for It's Love had all that stuff with the flowers and shit?
Yeah, they're right. Way in, like, that 60s Beatle aesthetic.
I remember, like, just weird, the video was really weird, too. And I haven't listened to them in a long time. Apparently they are still around.
Yeah, they got. I don't know if they broke up and got back together again, but they are doing shit.
Huh. But according to Wikipedia, they just signed a worldwide record contract.
What? A worldwide record contract?
That's what it says. How cuckoo is that?
That's crazy! A worldwide record contract?
In this day and age?
Oh my god!
I mean, that's about as unlikely as a spank it.
Records, people don't use those anymore, do they?
I wonder what, sorry, that just put me on another train of thought, because I was thinking, I recently got a hold of a copy of a record by this band I liked. Who I had the CD by before.
No, you didn't.
And on the CD, like, I usually had to, like, kind of mess with the EQ a little bit because I thought it had a little bit too much high end and stuff to it, you know? But when I put the record on, it sounded fine. I'm like, I guess because the record was rolling off that high end that I found annoying.
When you put the needle on the record?
When I put the needle, dropped the needle on the record. As it were.
The record in the drum beat goes like this.
And, so I'm wondering, like, I don't know where I was going with that. Just how many people are noted, like, you know, or how often the difference between listening to a record is that noticeable from the digital recording or whatever?
Hugely.
Yeah, a lot of people notice that. I don't, which is why I don't care. But I know, I understand that there is a difference. And it is noticeable. You, I'm surprised that you don't notice that, Craig.
Well, I mean, sometimes I've noticed stuff, but it's because sometimes they mix it different, or they'll EQ it different for the record, because you can't put as much bass on the record and stuff like that.
Right. There's a whole for the mix on the record, you have this whole set of constraints to stop the needle from bouncing out.
Right.
And it goes in two directions for the stereo. And so you have to make sure that on both channels that never sums above a certain whatever to reach a velocity, you get the needle out of the groove. And then the record players themselves and their amps have, you know, components that boost those parts that the record doesn't get to have. But of course, those parts of the amp in the record player don't carry over when you do a digital copy for a CD or whatever. You're just, you know, taking the original master, and that original master was done for carving it, and you're not carving it anymore, and you don't have those components, so it ends up sounding wonky.
Right. Yeah. So it's like, because I remember when I, that last album of that band that was in the Vladimir's put out, they also did a vinyl release of it, and since I was doing the recording and the mastering on it, I had to, when the label said we were going to, you know, press a vinyl for it, I had to wind up doing like a separate version of it for that, to like, so it wouldn't sound weird, you know. Like, but by and large, I mean, aside from like minor differences like that, I don't notice a lot of difference in the, as long as the record's good and the stereo you're listening to it through is good, I don't notice a whole shit ton of difference between listening to vinyl and listening to a CD.
Oh, yeah, I mean, like, the mastering's the biggest part. All the rest of the stuff of the sampling and all of that, that's all bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know. I'm pretty sure I've said it before. I mean, for me, records aren't about whether it sounds better or not. Although, again, there are some things that were mixed better on the record than they were for the, like, especially if you're getting, like, a reissue CD where they remix it and you don't like the remix, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or the remaster because they're boosting different frequencies you don't like or whatever, you know? But, I mean, aside from that, it was never really my argument about vinyl sounding better. I like the action of playing a vinyl. It just feels a little more concrete to me, like I'm making an effort instead of just hitting a playlist button or something, you know. But, plus I like watching them spin. They're pretty. And colored vinyl's fun.
Colored vinyl.
I mean,
the only time in my life where I've been like, I would say part, like witnessing music history and stuff, like had my finger on the pulse, I was in my dorm room in 1991 or 90.
Yeah.
And my buddy Ron came in. He's like, I was over at Memphis Comics and Records and I got this vinyl. It's clear vinyl. It's this yellow, clear, weird vinyl of this band called Nirvana. And I'm like, okay, who's that? And he played it, and I was like, oh, sounds like the Pixies.
Was that Bleach?
No, it was Nevermind.
Oh, okay. I remember being in a thrift store with a friend of mine. I used to, this was back in the 90s when you could still like find records in decent shape and stuff for real cheap in thrift stores. And we were going through the record and she pulled out it was a copy of Prince's Purple Rain that I had thumbed through that stack before and I didn't get it because I already had a copy of it.
So you could have it?
Say what? No. No. So you
know, give me that!
But she didn't have a vinyl copy of it, so she bought it. And then it turns out it was one of the purple vinyl copies. Oh. And she got it for like 50 cents or something. Stupid. Whoa. Like that. And I'm like, oh man. Why didn't I just look at the record? Especially since my copy of Purple Rain wound up missing later anyway. And that really sucked because that was the copy I had like since I was a kid. When I bought it brand new back in 1984 or whatever. You know. So, I don't know. Yay, records. All right. Moving on. What else we got?
I got two more pages left on Grumble number 10.
Wow. We made it that far.
Yeah, it's going to be the last one for a little while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take a couple month break.
That wraps up the second story arc, right? Second trade.
Yeah. Hopefully somebody will start buying it. Speaking of which,
yeah.
Can you send me the latest version of the PDF for issue 1 of Battlebug? I think I should send it to some people to see what they say about it preview-wise.
I thought I did give you...
You probably did, but guess what? I don't pay attention sometimes.
Because you asked for, like... Oh, no, that was Grumble you were asking for.
Also, I need to pay you for Grumble number 9, I think.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yes.
Because I know that I do.
And I need to bill you for number 3, but I was waiting on you to give me revisions on it.
I'm going to have those soon because I just finished issue 4. And I have to make sure everything is all right and cool and awesome, which is going to be difficult, because I suck.
All right. What is the... Okay, the latest one I've got is from May of... May 30th from this year.
Okay,
that's the one. Of number 1, issue number 1.
That's the one I want.
Okay.
Actually,
And I don't think we've made any changes since then.
Did you do the one that has the credits on that spread? I wrote the credits in the snow with the new art page.
Was it Battlepug peeing in the snow and that made the credits?
No.
Yes, I did. That PDF has that.
Okay. There's some stuff I want to add to that, but that will be good enough for a preview, I think, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, as long as you're not majorly changing storylines or something. You know.
No. I wanted to put, like, a footnote thing on that spread to say, go by the compendium. You know what I mean?
Oh, right on. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that won't matter for just a preview, then, I guess.
I know!
Right.
Why are you bugging me?
I what?
You heard of me.
Okay. Here. I'm sending you a link now.
Yay, you're my friend. Oh no, you sent it through Skype. Here I am.
Doesn't it work?
Right now I'm placing some art. Hold on.
Well, I can send you an email if you want.
I'm gonna send you an email to your face.
This is the second best part of this show.
Subject line. Your face.
This is definitely the second best part of the show today.
What's the second best part of the show?
This is the second best part of the show.
Me saying your face?
No, I was talking about work.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It's right behind the spank it. Ah, the spank it. I should probably. I read an article earlier this week about the. It was another thing about the Oni Limeforge merger. And I think I should probably correct myself because when I was first talking about it, when that article in the Wall Street Journal or whatever aired like last month before, I got the impression that it was essentially Oni buying Limeforge more than just a merger, you know. But apparently the parent company. Which I can't remember the name of, but the parent company that owned Limeforge, they're the majority shareholders of this merger thing. So I just wanted to correct misinformation that I might have given.
Appreciate it.
Anyway.
You've been appreciated.
My house value appreciated.
What?
At least I think so. It depends on if you can trust, like, realtor websites.
Yeah, no.
Because apparently, I went and looked it up, because I was talking to my neighbor the other night, and he was saying a house around the corner went for some... I don't remember what the figure was, but it was, like, really high for the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, that's good. And, you know, that makes everybody else look good when a house sells for a lot, you know.
Yeah.
And then that got me curious. I just went and looked up my property online, and I looked at like Zillow and other sites like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how they derived their numbers, because every one of them was different. But like it still ranged from. The cheapest was like $10,000 more than I paid for it, and the highest one was like $25,000 or something like that. You know? So, at least I'm under the impression that my property values have gone up since I bought the house.
Yeah,
which is cool. You know, I'm trying to remember. I was joking, saying, "Well, hell, if I could actually get $20,000 more, I should just sell the house and pocket the $20,000." Go buy something else cheap, you know?
Holy moly!
But I was trying to remember. I think part of it, because I had gotten like an FHA grant. And
I just looked at the Zillow estimate of mine.
Has it gone up a lot?
No!
No?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Time to move.
Yeah, man. How long have you guys been there?
Now, everybody's been moving, like buying houses here. Yeah. And it got Julie's like, I'm so sick of hearing people move. I just want to move just to spite them. Like, I don't think it works that way, baby. So she's been looking at houses, and I'm like, let's not invite that pain into our life right now.
Well, how much, I mean, as far as that goes, how much more trouble would a house be for you than...
No, having a house isn't the trouble. It's going through the process of buying one.
Oh, yeah, that's...
That's a pain in the ass of a monumental scale.
Yeah. I mean, mine was relatively easy, and I'm still kind of recovering from it. Like, you know.
But, I mean, now it's all she thinks about.
Well, you guys...
And now she's got me doing it, too. Because, like, I was walking in the neighborhood, and I'm, like, looking at the houses that are on sale. And then I look them up on my phone and stuff. And I was like, oh, that'd be nice.
Well, yeah, I mean, that Ryan and Carrie's place, the picture that they posted from the front of it anyway, it looks like a really nice house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, got a nice big front window, and that lets in lots of light.
Yeah, it's going to let in some wind when I break it with a rock. Wait a minute, I'm not supposed to say that.
Yeah, that's...
I'm not doing that. That's not what I'm going to do.
I mean, you know, today. Yeah. Right now, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, yeah, if your window does happen to get broken by a rock, it's not Mike.
Wasn't me.
Wouldn't me.
It was somebody else with a rock.
Exactly.
They could have possibly got the idea from this show, but it wasn't me.
Right. So, good thing we didn't, like, say the address out loud or something.
Mm-hmm. It's, I don't actually know the address.
Yeah, I don't either. What part of town did they move to, though?
They call it Portage Park. But what it is just means like a mile or two west of where he lives now.
Oh, so, yeah, not far then.
Not that far.
Oh, that's cool. For some reason, I was always... In my head, it seems like houses, especially houses that have like a halfway decent yard, are always like so far away. But it's not really, because I mean, like, Sam and Liz don't live that far away, right?
Sam and Liz, like, live in a pocket universe. It feels like so... Every time I go there, I think to myself, this is not where I thought it was.
I'm trying to, like, Yeah, I guess just because I've never really... The only time I went to houses, they were out in the burbs and stuff, so... I mean, I you know, you'd see houses here and there, but, like, my mind's still just overwhelmed with pictures of multi-level buildings that have lots of tenants in them, you know. And, I mean, yeah, I'm trying to think, like, even houses that were around were usually, like, because, you know, one of the places I lived in was a house, but it was, like, a two-family house or whatever, you know. But even that was, like, one of those things where the buildings next door were, like, you know, a gap of, like, 2 inches or something like that right up on it. Not much of a yard or anything like that. Oh, that's one thing. If you buy a house, you're going to have to cut grass, dude.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't like that.
Man, I guess you could just hire a like a lawn boy or something.
Oh, he might really do it. She likes kind of a tough person.
Yeah, there you go. But, man, she could really garden with a yard, though.
Yeah, she could. You know, that's probably something she'd be like into.
She wouldn't be restricted to just like pots in the front room and whatever light she can get from that.
Oh, she'd still have plants in the house, I bet.
Oh, sure, but think of what she would do in a yard, man. She'd go nuts.
Well, you've never seen my childhood home.
Plants everywhere?
My mother basically built a jungle in the backyard.
Sweet.
No, it wasn't sweet. There's like banana spiders everywhere. Just run into one of their webs, and it's like, God, that spider's as big as my fucking hand.
I thought those were.
I remember one. There was like a door to their bedroom that would go out into the backyard, and I opened it once, and the web like covered the entire like portion where my head would go through. And I was like, Mom, what the fuck is this? And she goes, that's my pet. And I'm like, your pet sucks.
I thought banana spiders were like a deep south thing or like tropical thing.
That's what I called it. It was a big yellow spider.
Sounds like a banana spider.
Yellow and black spider. I mean, it is. I mean, it's Jackson, Tennessee. It's Mississippi practically.
Well, yeah. I guess my geographical awareness is off. It is pretty far south. Well then, banana spiders, what you gonna do?
Don't eat them.
What if you peeled them first? That's not a spider, that's banana conda!
Banana conda!
Hey Mike, do we have an email?
We do.
Well, why don't you read that email?
Captain Colin writes, hi chaps.
Hi.
Sorry I've not emailed in a couple of weeks. Been traveling around England and Wales hosting award evening for young athletes that the charity I work for supports.
Stop
bragging. 85% of the athletes were under 21 and 90% don't receive any other funding. Mm. Good work, Colin.
Fund them, athletes.
He's doing it.
He puts the fun in fund.
Colin's a good guy. I like Colin.
Oh, that's good.
He does good stuff. I really enjoyed Mike singing this week. He should go into advertising jingle business. Very catchy.
Good.
I was singing this morning. What was I singing this morning?
I don't know. Did you make up a jingle for the Spank-It?
No, I didn't. Most of my songs do revolve around butts. I do sing songs about butts all the time.
I used to tap Mike quite often for voiceover stuff in commercials.
Yeah, that's true. I was the one with the deepest voice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm 100% sure it's Simon shitting in Mike's garden. What's the update on the kittens? Did Crank save them? Did you save them, kittens?
They're still on a watch.
Save them, kittens, bring them inside.
But,
bring them inside.
I did check over in the where they were before, and I saw Persephone. So I'm assuming they're still there, but they're not weaned yet, so I don't want to do anything.
Because
if I have to, I don't want to go buy cat milk and then have to wipe their butts with a warm towel to get them to poop.
Bring them inside.
You know what I'm saying?
I was also impressed by the amount of comic talk in this week's show. It felt like 2008 again.
Aw. Did we talk
about... Welcome to this week's show.
Yeah, we didn't talk about comics at all this week. Oh.
We talked about the comics that I'm working on. Get to it.
I finished reading, you know, Dark Knight Returns. And
yeah? Does it have a different ending now?
No, but not having read that since the 90s?
Uh-huh.
I'd forgotten. I mean, it's still a good book, but it's... despite the fact that we've seen so much derivative stuff directly based on that,
you know? Yeah, I
can think. Despite that, like it still, I think it still holds up because it was doing what it was doing on purpose.
Yeah,
you know,
the first one, yeah.
like it was making a statement about stuff, yeah. About how, you know, what people thought of superheroes at the time was just kind of ridiculous, you know, and this is how the things would really play out. You know? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't meant to be like, well, like, you know, today's crop of grim and gritty stuff, especially like grim and gritty reboots of kids' properties and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. That and Watchmen came out the same year, and they are very similar. They're pretty much what they call the deconstruction of the superhero.
Right, and I mean, that was their point.
Comic sort of suffered because of it. I think there are a lot of good stuff was made because of it, but I think also it's the default superhero view now, I think.
Yeah, and I think that's mostly the way I see it, that's because people were taking the trappings of it without actually understanding what it was saying.
Yep. You're really right about that, because I think of, there's a show out of Milwaukee, they review movies, it's called like Red Letter Media.
Yeah.
And one of the guys is a big comic book fan. He says he's from Chicago, but he's from the suburbs. He's always talking about that Watchmen was good because the superheroes in it weren't very good at being superheroes, and that's not true at all. That's not what Watchmen is about.
Right.
The Watchmen, they were good superheroes.
He's thinking of Mystery
Man. Yeah, he's like, they were good superheroes.
They just had the bowl.
You see them as real people in this, and they have failings and stuff like that. And they're out of their prime when you see them in Watchmen. Same with Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, and now it's like, well, for one thing, you weren't really supposed to, you know, get behind the superheroes in these stories, really.
Yes.
You know, you weren't supposed to be like...
The superheroes aren't the hero anymore.
Yeah, you weren't supposed to be cheering them on and going, yeah, you know, you're supposed to be looking at them going, oh, fuck. You know? And since it's become sort of the de facto look and vibe of everything now, but, you know, you still want your heroes to be heroes, you still want to be able to root for them, so there's, like, this even worse of a cognitive dissonance than there was in, like, the 70s, you know? Yeah, yeah. Because whereas in the 70s, at least they may not have been what would happen in real life, but the characters were still people that you could get behind, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And there wasn't any problem with that because they were the good guys, right? Which, you know, actually, that all goes, now that I'm saying all this out loud, that explains to me perfectly now why people actually really like characters like Harley Quinn and Joker and shit like that, but like them to the extent where people used to like heroes instead, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's really, what's the difference anymore?
Right. Good point. That's a good point.
I mean, they're all kind of like, I don't know, you know, there's not really a whole lot of difference between them.
Henrik from Denmark writes.
Oh, well, thanks, Colin.
Thanks, Colin. You're the best. We love you.
Oh,
and your dogs, too.
On his Instagram, he's posted a whole shit ton of stuff about the Metallica show he went to.
Yeah, that's cool. Hi, Crank, Mike, and other podcast stars. I just wanted to write a quick note to congratulate you guys on hitting the peak of comic book podcasting now that you have comic giants like Eric Powell guesting. It must surely mean that the Crankcast was a real comic podcast all along.
Yeah, I felt real bad about him having to sit through that.
Yeah, he probably thought it was weird, but here's the thing. He's weird, too.
Oh, that's all right.
He would have just been quiet. I could have just said that Eric's not here, and you would have never known.
Oh, I wouldn't have.
Or was he just kind of...
What?
Did he guest host, or was he just sitting there working?
Yeah, I was going to ask him questions, but he was never...
I didn't tell him that Crank was going to call. And in fact, it wasn't like the night before he found out that I even had a podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to ask him a question, but like he was so quiet that I didn't think he would wanted to be disturbed, so I didn't say much to him.
It's weird. It's Eric knows that he's weird to talk to.
Yeah. apropos of nothing, have you ever worn flip-flops for so long that you've compressed the material into something that's like barely...
Yeah, that means you've got to get new ones.
Barely more than paper thin anymore?
Get new ones. Go to the Walgreens and buy new ones for $5. Go.
Why?
Go!
Alright, go ahead. Keep reading.
P.S. Crank, please, please, please adopt one of those kittens.
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm going to try to catch them and take them to a shelter, but I can't keep them. And besides, how do you choose? If I caught, if I wanted to keep one of them, I'd have to keep all of them. I mean,
Michael writes.
Oh, there's more.
Hi, Mike and Crank. Crank's stray cat problems reminded me of when we moved into our house. We had 30 stray cats living in a garage behind our house.
Holy crap.
They would hold cat congresses and everything in our backyard. Once we got cats, they would come up to the front porch and spray our window.
Jesus.
We made mothball bombs and kept them off our porch. Then we got our dogs, a German Shepherd lab mix, and they stopped coming in our yard. They still roamed the neighborhood until the bald eagles moved in.
What is it? Are they in Narnia?
We have two bald eagles that moved down the river from us. It's a nice little bungalow we live in.
Too bad about the preachy lion.
Yeah. The preachy lion. We got a weird goat man. And us in our neighborhood, and it's a hunting... Oh, okay. Moved down the river from us, and our neighborhood is in its hunting zone. Then a couple of red-tailed hawks moved in. They just sound like they moved in, like with a... had boxes and stuff from Home Depot. Then a couple of red-tailed hawks moved in, and the stray cat problem was solved. I guess these birds ate all the cats?
Probably. I mean, they're pretty big birds. They could probably, make a meal of a cat.
You need to get a more effective predator in your neighborhood, and that should take care of your cat problem. Maybe get an alligator for the pond.
Oh.
Your pond can't hold an alligator.
No. Maybe a baby one. Yeah.
Maybe
you
a baby
handle
one.
An alligator.
Maybe a caiman.
Yeah, like one of those little gators.
Good luck with the strays and keep making comics. Mike from Pittsburgh. P.S. Here's a link to the eagles that live near us.
Pittsburgh?
Wait, this is all in Pittsburgh?
Yeah. And he links to a company that has a Pittsburgh bald eagle cam.
Man.
And it shows you the bald eagles. Right now it's just an empty nest.
They've implanted the cams in the bald eagles' heads.
Yep.
I actually know two Mikes in Pittsburgh. This is either of them that I feel bad for making fun about the Narnia thing.
Cam update. Egg number one laid. Egg not viable. Did not hatch.
Boo.
That egg got laid.
Local school districts used to show the eagle cam in elementary schools until the eagles fed a Yorkie to their eaglets.
Oh, my God.
Jeez.
Holy shit.
That's the way of the jungle, baby.
Fuck those eagles. Oh, man. I'm going to get all Red Dead Redemption on those eagles. Get my dead eye going.
I think you're going to get all John Wick on them.
Yeah, Walk up to him real quick and shoot him in the brain.
You don't get
shoot
mad
him in the foot and then in the brain.
You don't get mad at the lion for eating the gazelle.
You don't know me. I might be mad at that lion. Leave that gazelle alone.
I mean, eagle gotta eat, baby.
I just had Beyond Meat sausages the other day, and they were fucking awesome. So
what is this Beyond Meat?
It's plant based meat.
Is it still soy?
No, it's plant-based. Soy is a plant right now. I don't know! Get off my back!
Does it... And it tastes like meat?
It does. It tastes great. It tastes better than the Beyond Burgers.
Wait, what did you have?
What?
You had... Well, what do you... Wait a minute.
They were Beyond Meat Polish sausages.
Oh, I see.
And I made them, I grilled them, and they were delicious.
Huh. Where'd you get those from?
I got them from the grocery store.
So you can just get Beyond Meat at a grocery store?
Yep.
Huh.
It's a little more expensive than the real thing. But,
well,
yep.
So we're like, if you get Boca Burgers or something,
Hey, here's a question. They gave me like these guidelines and template kind of stuff for doing all the stuff for Image. Would you want that? I know you won't really have to do any of it, but...
Is it just that PDF, the production guide?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a copy.
And it has, like, the copy that you have to put in there?
You can send it to me. I can double-check it.
Stuff. I might make you do that for issue one, because it's part of the artwork.
Is it just... Oh, yeah, they gave you the indicia.
Yeah.
Usually they're all right with just, as long as there's space left, they drop it in production.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what the fuck I decide to do and tell you what to do.
And it's probably it's probably better to let them do that, because if they have to make any changes, and then they can just make changes. Like,
whatever. I still own you.
But,
Your own!
If that PDF's called the... I think it's the 2014 production guide?
Ideas,
something like, go ahead and send me a copy. But yeah, I'm pretty sure I've got it.
You're a favor, God. Jesus.
I was just... I had to talk to one of their production people last week, and I got a copy of whatever the most recent one, at least the production guide, because I was working on a new project. I wanted to make sure I was... like, because the copy I have is from, like, 2012. And I didn't know if they had changed anything, like the safe area or whatever, but I just want to make sure. Spreads. Let me talk about spreads there for a second.
Okay.
This isn't actually directed at you, because I forgot that Battlepuck had spreads until just now. Because this has more to do with this other book I was working on. They had, like, out of 30 pages, I think, like, I don't know, 14 of them are spreads? 15 of them are spreads? And spreads are funky. So here's a tip for all you comic folks out there, especially if you haven't been doing this very long. When you do a spread, make sure you leave room in the gutter, because even if you can still, you know, see pertinent information in a monthly issue of a single issue of a comic book, when you get into larger volumes, the trades, and then omnibuses.
Omnibuses.
Anyway, so when you start getting into the really thicker books like that, you're going to lose a lot of information in the gutter because of the way they're bound and the book's not being able to open up as wide. So if I remember, let's see, I think the Image guide says to leave about a half inch in the middle where nothing important has to be on a spread. But you actually want to probably give it a little more air than that to make sure you can fit, you know, so the panels look nice instead of getting kind of chopped.
For unlimited big?
Yeah. And also, you know, make sure, like, if lettering has to fit in there so people can still read it. Otherwise, it's just going to be lost information. So, spreads. They're not your friend.
I hate them.
Why? Spreads are one of those weird things. Like, they can be done really well and be really effective. And they can also be completely mangled and massacred. Like, most times when I see a spread, it's just adequate. It's like, it's essentially just it's two pages with, like, a linked theme. Like, most
the only reason I don't like spreads is because they become a pain whenever you're putting a trade paperback together.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, you do have to account for where they're going to be. That's the other thing about spreads. Think ahead, because they can only go on even to odd pages, like page 2 to 3 or page, you know, 6 and 7.
Think ahead when you do your spread.
Exactly. So, like, in what Mike's talking about is when you're putting together your trade at the end, if you've got, like, say, you got to make sure that they fall on, you know, even to odd pages. Like, so sometimes I've seen trades have to insert stuff ahead of, like, the story to make the page work out.
Mm-hmm. Stuff. Yeah, we've done some weird things in the past to do it.
Yeah. So, yeah. Think about your spreads. I also find I tend to like spreads better when there aren't very many of them. Because, like, it's like splash pages. If you do too many splash pages, it just kind of loses effectiveness, you know? Where, like, spreads... At least in my mind, traditionally, they were just meant to open up the view, like, to make it seem enormous or bigger or whatever, you know, to give you this, like, nice big overall picture of something before breaking it down again into, like, story beats. And, like, when you just got, like, spread after spread after spread after spread. I mean, you can, as an effect, you can use that to work, too, because, I mean, what was it? There was a Shaolin Cowboy, I think, was essentially, there was an issue of that that was, like, one long spread or something like that. I'm trying to remember. There was something I remember reading back in the aughts that was, like, you could basically take all the pages out of the book, and it was essentially, like, one long spread. But, so, like, if you're doing it for, like, special effect or something, that's a different story, too. Like, but, I don't know. Hey, we talked about some comic stuff.
Thank you for writing, people.
Yeah, thanks for writing. We appreciate it. It sparks conversation. And Mike likes to read. It's true. Okay, so stuff in stores this week. Oh, I want to mention, too, because I forgot to mention it last week. There was an anthology. I did a couple of things in it. It's a benefit anthology. Or I'm working on a couple of things in it. It's for... it's called Shots Fired. It's for gun violence, essentially, like the anti-gun violence. It's not for gun violence.
Oh, no.
Yes, we need more gun violence.
Pro-gun violence anthology.
Man, guns gotta shoot, you know? But, anyway, but yeah, it's called Shots Fired. It's, I'm trying to remember the publisher and stuff. There's a Kickstarter-y Indiegogo 13.
What?
It's, gosh, what is it? I don't know if it's a Kickstarter or an Indiegogo. Brendan Wright's editing it. And... good golly. I'll find it, but I'm going to keep talking about it in the meantime. Anyway, it's called Shots Fired, and it's in the middle of its campaign right now. And yeah, check it out is what I'm saying. Brendan's been posting sample bits of story and stuff like that for it, you know. And so, yeah. Gosh. Oh, it's even had some articles in like Newsarama and stuff. That's kind of cool. Oh, it is on Kickstarter. So look up Shots Fired on Kickstarter. And I think actually Kickstarter was going to feature it. Like they do that thing where they feature it on the front page or whatever.
Probably did.
So, yeah, I think they were, I don't know when they did or if it's still coming up, but yeah. So it's on Kickstarter. It's called Shots Fired. Anti-gun violence anthology. So. There. I'm really bad at promoting stuff. Terrible.
I am too, that's why I need to send a preview to people.
Right. We should,
But I want them to buy it, too, so how do I make them buy it plus read the free preview?
Well, I mean, traditionally aren't previews, like, used to encourage people to buy further issues of stuff or something?
Oh.
And I mean, who's going to buy issue 2 without buying an actual copy of issue 1?
I don't know.
And the preview, I mean, necessarily this preview is sort of low res, you know, so.
You're low res.
It's not like you're getting a nice, you know, high res comic file or anything.
All my artwork is beautiful.
Yep, it's all special. It's all special. Like snowflakes. Your art is snowflakes, Mike.
My beer fell out of the fridge.
Nah. Is it beer o'clock already?
It's always beer o'clock.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I've been drinking since 9.
Oh. You start a little late then, huh?
You shut up. You're the one with a problem.
That's sad because it's true. But anyway, so I'm looking at stuff that's coming out this week, just trying to see if we've actually got anything coming out this week. Because I don't know, actually.
Two pages almost. I think we have something next week. I think I got the comps for Grumble 9, which seems early.
Is it? I don't know.
I think it is early.
Label Mates on Albatross. Goon number 3 is in stores.
Speaking of
Eric Powell.
Get that goon.
Label Mates. Look at me. I'm talking like we're on a music record thing. Worldwide Contract.
Worldwide Contract?
That's us.
Did they sign Vicious Lips?
Ah, Vicious Lips. Such a dumb title, too. But I like it. I don't know. Anyway. I don't really know exactly what anybody's working on that we know, so I don't know. Like, when I'm looking at Marvel or DC stuff, yeah. So, I... And all my stuff at Dynamite's done, so... I thought there was a Dynamite, maybe that was last week, Barbarella, Days of Thoris, was in stores. The last issue of that, number 4. Just because, I didn't letter this, but just because I've been working on that series for a really long time, from IDW Publishing this week, Crow Hack / Crossover, number 1.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Like I said, I didn't letter it, but you know. Image. Man, I am kind of dumb today. I feel really slow. Although I did manage to whip out that spank it thing pretty fast.
Burn curve.
I probably shouldn't use whip out and spank it in the same sentence. From Oni Press, Rick and Morty number 51. In stores this week. 51 issue. Man, I've been working on that book for years. That's crazy. That's just nuts, dude.
Stop bragging.
I mean, there's more issues of this comic than there are episodes of the show. The Volume 9 trade paperback is also in stores this week. Just in case you were wondering. I don't know, you might. And that's really all I see. Yeah, that's pretty much a volume 4 of a no, never mind. Anyway, okay, so I guess that's it for this week. You can reach us at crankcast.com, crankcast@gmail.com. Go read Battlepug at battlepug.com. Many and sundry other things. Go to your comic shop. Buy Grumble. Please buy Grumble.
Please buy Grumble. Come on.
Pre-order.
What do I gotta do?
Pre-order Battle Pug.
Please pre-order Battle Pug. What do I gotta do?
I mean, does he gotta get down on his knees and beg?
Because I'm not doing that. My knees hurt.
Yeah.
I'm pretty heavy.
He gets down on his knees, he might not be able to get back up again, you know. Got the knees that swell up in the rain and stuff. It's not pretty.
Knees don't do that. My ankles do.
Oh, right. I knew it was something like that.
Shut up. Stop telling everybody my shit.
I mean, technically, you're the one that told everybody.
I didn't tell nobody nothing.
I mean, all right then. So
Trump, I just say stuff. On a recorded show, just say 5 minutes later that I didn't say it.
Oh, God, don't get me started.
Prove me. Prove it. Prove I said that, Crank.
Oh, don't get me started. Ooh. Okay, remember those flip-flops I was talking about?
No.
You know, the ones I've worn for so long, I flattened them out?
Yes.
I was looking at the slot, the space where the straps go into the side. I think you're right. I need to get rid of these. They look like they might be a health and safety violation.
You're so gross.
Well, I didn't know it was there like that. It's pretty gross, man. But they're still all together. I hate throwing...
Nobody fucking cares. Get some new flip-flops. They cost $5.
Oh, not these. These were Airwalks.
What? Like, that's a name I'm supposed to know?
Airwalk?
You said Airwalk?
Yeah, what do you think I said? Airwalk?
Yeah, I thought you said, like, Airog. Like, what is that?
They're earbuds, dude. You know. But anyway, so, all right. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.